And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we are, well, I always enjoy the show. It is Holding the Heart Space with Mary McNabb. And wow, tonight we're going to be talking about how to surrender to the heart, which with all the work I think everybody has been doing lately, certainly the heart is the area that most are beginning to feel that deeper longing and connection with. So I'm looking forward to the show, Mary. Welcome.
Thank you. I am too. This is always fun, and this is one of my favorite topics. So I'm really looking forward to this as well.
Good. So how do we start with this?
Well, I think that, or I should say I feel that, since we're talking about the heart. When we speak, any of us, about surrendering to the heart or surrendering into the heart, the word heart isn't what's problematic. It's the word surrender.
Definitely.
In Western culture especially, and Eastern actually, the word surrender connotates, even to those who've done a lot of work, sort of throwing in the towel, waving the white flag, it's a giving up.
Yeah.
Kind of feeling. And whether we realize it or not, in our subconscious and unconscious minds, those definitions tend to linger culturally, you know, from our tribes, our families, that surrender means giving up, giving in, which then means being controlled. And that's the sort of icky underbelly of what surrender means to a lot of people, is that if I surrender, I will end up being owned and controlled. And so one of the truths that has encountered me, I would have to say, rather than me encountering it, it has found me along the way, is that real surrender to the heart, into the heart, is about giving over rather than giving up. Mm-hmm. We also call it offering up, let go, let God. There are many catchphrases for this. The important thing is not how we talk about it so much, but rather how it is felt in the feeling states, some of which are emotions and some of which are not, and that's complicated. But and then how it feels in our bodies, where we just get to that point where we say, okay, to the divine, you do it. I have no idea. I am clueless what step to take next. Or really just a deep realization, the feeling that you never did.
Mm.
That anything that really worked, anything that has caused miraculous outcomes, miraculous solutions, and I don't mean miracles of the, you know, huge and overt kind, although those can happen as well. I mean the ones that are the everyday miracles. Also, those happen when we aren't trying to control it. And that's difficult because for so long, I did this as well. I thought I was surrendering everything, its brother, sideways, backwards, you know. And I truly believed that. And my heart would just ache when things did not seem to move or things did not seem to change. And the thing that I had not given over was the agenda.
Hmm.
Like, I would like it to change right now this way.
Right.
And we say, well, shouldn't we be very clear about our intentions? It feels and seems like a paradox, like an oxymoron almost, but it isn't. Yes, of course, we should be very clear about our intentions. Your newsletter was great, Lori.
Oh, thank you.
We should be very clear about that and let the how of things go completely into the divine.
Right.
So it feels paradoxical, but what I realized in my own process was that it's the agenda that needs to go. And it's that, well, these are my intentions. Like, it's hard to talk about. That's why I'm stumbling a little bit. It's the difference between intentions and an agenda.
Right.
It's very subtle. The agenda says, with our personal will, you know, I want it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And the intention says, this, from my heart and from what uplifts me, is what I'm choosing, that uplifting feeling, and show me, bring it to me. I know that whatever you bring will be optimal.
Yeah.
And that feeling right there is the one most of us have trouble with, is that I know it will be optimal, because our minds, our egos have been trained by us, it's no one's fault, to not trust that.
Mm-hmm.
To say, well, optimal, if I give over, if I let it just come to me, which doesn't mean not taking actions. You know, we're not advocating the couch potato position at all.
Well, that's very much that new age, I would say, agenda that has been sort of, it's become as much dogma as, you know, most religions, but that, you know, that whole, well, if it's difficult, then it's not meant to be, and, you know, all of those things that kind of come with that part of the New Age movement, which, you know, clearly was preparing the way for a deeper and more powerful understanding of our evolution, but it also did a great deal of damage.
Yes. Yes, because there's that, what you just described of, well, if it's difficult, then it's not the right thing.
Yeah.
That, I would so strongly disagree with that. We have belief systems that this one was trying to counter, which is like the Nietzsche belief, right? That which does not kill us makes us stronger.
Mm.
Oh, could we lose that one? But also the, oh, well, if it's difficult, it's not the right thing. That's not truth. Truth is that difficulty means there are belief systems or programs or patterned ways of holding energy that are still not aligned with our intentions and or with giving over. That's all it means. It doesn't mean quit. It is not a stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
It is there's something to learn here.
Mm-hmm. Which is always great.
Not we're doing anything wrong either.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting that we're talking about this topic, because very recently, and it must have been one of my interviews, but there was a profound shift for me, because I've found the whole issue about surrender exactly what you're talking about. Like that whole, you know, feeling like I'm giving up control, and, you know, that is knowing that, you know, if I, that, you know, clearly I'm not doing it, knowing and saying all of those things, but that feeling that difficulty, that tension with regards to surrender. But you said something that I'm going to bring back, which is, you know, surrendering into the heart. And recently, this shift came when it was, well, surrendering means, you know, diving into your heart. It means, you know, it's like, instead of feeling like you have to, and for me it may be just semantics in the wording and the feeling around surrender, but thinking about diving into my heart is so much easier than saying surrender.
Yes, I mean, that's what I mean. The word is problematic.
Yeah.
It just is, because we just have all of these mental databases, all of this data that says, surrender means you will be enslaved. Surrender is get out the handcuffs, or be possessed, or, I mean, all kinds of things.
Yeah, the white flag.
I love that. I love that idea of diving into the heart, because truly, that is what we do.
Yeah.
My friend Melanie calls it the trust fall into the arms of the divine. And even that was problematic for me at first, because years ago, I became one of those people who, in a corporate exercise, couldn't fall backwards into the arms of my team because, you know, forget it.
Interesting.
And so the idea of the trust fall, or the truth fall, which is what it really is, was something that I had to get rid of. But it's that thing. It's the idea. So the diving into the heart, I love that. Thank you. Because truthfully, it's finding whatever works to get around your mind's definitions that are keeping you from what's real and what's true. And not beating up the poor monkey anymore. Because we programmed the thing. I mean, you know, we're sorry. The mind has gotten a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
We need them. We need our minds to differentiate between red lights and stop signs. We need our minds to support the heart.
Yeah.
So in the diving into the heart, we need our minds to have a new job description. This surrendering into the heart, diving into the heart, says to the mind, thank you so much for everything you have done. And will you now please change your job description to be in support of the heart? It is the heart that is steering, that is guiding the heart and the intuitive faculties, and it is the mind's job to support that. So when the heart has a yearning, the heart says, oh, this feeling, or oh, this person, place, or thing, it is now the mind's job to provide data, to say, well, here are some possible avenues for taking action.
Right.
Or when the heart says, turn left at that corner, the mind remembers how to drive the car. That's its new job. It's so much easier, and actually, for me at least, my mind liked that a lot better than go lie down and be still, you know? It just did. It was like, oh, cool, something useful to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we have to find that balance, because because we can't control our mind. We can be in charge of our responses, but we can't necessarily control it. And I think that's the fighting back that we usually get, is that the agenda that you talk about, the fact that we try to control everything in our lives to make it, I don't know, comfortable. I mean, I wonder sometimes how it is that we come up with the ways everything is supposed to be done, because we feel that that's what, more comfortable? I mean, usually our lives are pretty uncomfortable by the time you get to these stages. So, you know, I'm not quite sure. And I did also an interview with Darwin Stevenson, and he talked about how, you know, really the mind and our unconscious, like the mind puts things into our unconscious to save our energy, so mm-hmm. that when things come up, we don't automatically have to go through the whole energy of expressing each experience. We recall from our database and our memory, you know, how we're supposed to respond in certain situations. Unfortunately, they aren't always effective when they're what we created when we were before seven.
Or in another life. Or,
yes.
those are especially interesting because our unconscious agreements that we bring through from lifetime to lifetime often play what used to be known as that game of telephone,
mm-hmm.
where you repeat something one person to another, and by the time you get to about the fourth person, it's a completely different story.
Which is always so funny.
Yes, which is a riot, you know, but when it's your own unconscious mind doing that, it's not so much fun anymore.
It's not really, no.
You know, you made an agreement either in very early childhood or you brought it in from another life, and then it was a good idea. The mind stored it in the unconscious to help you operate efficiently. That, yes, that's what it does, to keep you safe. It's really about safety.
Absolutely.
And then it comes into this life and says, well, here's how it works. And, you know, it could be diametrically opposed to what will work in this lifetime. But your unconscious is going to hold on to it because it's protecting you. It's trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to that part, we can do that diving into the heart and saying, from the place of the heart to our own unconscious, thank you for all of your help. And let's just let all of these fixed agreements and fixed rules go. Let's just let them go and allow the divine to remember which ones are optimal for this life.
Mm-hmm.
And those can hang around because they're useful. You know, you don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just allowing that to relax, allowing the mind to relax. I mean, we've really programmed our minds into a fairly advanced state of agitation. You know, got to keep you safe, got to protect you, got to do this, got to figure this out, have to do this, have to do that. And it's like, okay, breathe. And allow the mind to relax. Because then, as any athlete will tell you, when you are relaxed, you are functioning at optimal. Even in a crisis.
Yeah.
You know, even what we would term a crisis situation, an accident, a, you know, something. If you're relaxed and move through it, you'll do so with so much more, so much greater efficiency. And the heart actually is what can drive that. The heart is what knows. Doesn't have to figure it out. That's why it's optimal. It just knows in that moment what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. So, how would you, or do you want to do a meditation on, you know, what that is like to surrender into the heart?
Sure. Let's do that. So wherever you are as you're listening, and thank you for being here, just if you have the opportunity, if you're somewhere where you can just take a big, deep, cleansing breath and just relax the body. Just let the body relax in whatever way it needs to. It knows. And allow the body to let go of anything that no longer serves in this moment or any other. And then allow the conscious mind to just relax enough to be functional, to listen, and to let any other programs running, agendas, things to do, go, just for this moment. And then allowing the subconscious mind, where we hold our belief systems and thought patterns and habits of behavior, let the subconscious relax and remember the instruction of the heart. And then letting the unconscious mind release and remember its true job description, which is to be a chalice of light, a repository of light. This is its true nature. And just allow that to happen. And then breathing into the emotional body. And just allow anything that wants to bubble up and out to do so. And it can do that just as feeling states. It doesn't need to express necessarily. And then allowing the relaxing back in, the diving into the heart. Whatever that means, whatever that feels to you, it will be unique to each soul. That's the beauty of it, the magic. The diving into your heart is unique to you. Just let it happen. And allow your heart space, which is the divine's heart space. Our hearts are the heart of the divine. We forgot. We were trained to forget. It's not a bad thing. Just let yourself relax into the divine heart. Let it hold you. Let yourself be held in a way that perhaps has never happened in this life or potentially any other. Just let yourself be held in the heart. Allow the heart space, however that appears to you, to fill with the energies of support. True support, the divine definition of support. And learn, if that's what's needed, how does that feel? With divine love, how does that feel? We talk a lot about it, but how does it feel? What is that experience for you? And divine guidance, which is the heart's speciality. Allow yourself to be filled, your heart, your mind, your body, your aura, your life situations. Allow yourself to be filled, an embodiment of divine guidance is what we are all meant to be. Not to do, but to be. An embodiment of divine guidance. Let yourself be filled with that. You may have no reference point. It does not matter. Just let the peace, the deep peace of that, that knowledge, that certainty, the divine never puts a foot wrong. Maybe because it doesn't have feet except for ours. But there's never a mistake. There's only learning. There is only learning. There is only learning. Allow the heart to just well through with forgiveness for whatever might be asking for that from within yourself that you would like to send to others, that you would like to ask from yourself, from others, from the divine. And just let that quality of love, of care, of support fill every fiber, every atom of your being, from the particle field, through the physiology, all of the physical body systems, the emotions, the mind, the chakras, the dimensions, and your entire experience of reality. Just let it be filled with that place. So you are floating in the ocean of the heart. Feeling that feeling of just being rocked in the currents, on the waves of the divine heart. And allowing the beginnings of knowing, or the advanced stages of knowing, whatever feels comfortable, that this feeling, this is the guidance, this is it. The mind can support this. The life can support this. This will never abandon or reject or fail. It simply isn't possible. And that the mind need not understand first. The cycle we are moving into, the heart must feel, fill up with, download, if you will, the guidance. And as it integrates, the manifestations will occur. And as they occur, the mind will know. But not before. This new cycle is a cycle of trust in the heart. And if and when the mind says, I don't know how, or despair comes in, or the mind says, I can't do that, you simply allow the mind to relax and say, yes, we know. You were not trained that way. It's not your fault. Allow yourself to rest in this level of peace. And soon, you will know. Like a child learning the world for the first time. That is a fun game. The mind likes to play this one. And just allowing the restfulness and the peace. And then from this place, within the ocean of the heart, within the ocean of the divine, ask a very simple question. With regard to my clear intentions, with regard to my next dance steps, to my next movements, show me. And I will know when I simply feel myself impulsed to take an action, to make an effort, to do, that it is coming from this place. I choose to trust. And I also choose and ask to know when the doing is coming from the habituated places in the mind, the personality. And I release all that is robotic, all that is the default, all that is the old, trusting that everything I need, I will know, I will remember. All the things that are functional, the mind will retain. The divine would never leave us without what we need to go through our day. Just resting in that, and if you have an opportunity listening to this later, or if you have your journal or a notepad with you now, just feel, and it might be feelings that come through. What is the guidance that I am fully embodying right now? What is that guidance? What is the guidance flavor of the day? And perhaps note down what comes through for you when you provide the question mark to the divine about intentions, about steps you can take just today. Just today. And say, show me. And just feel what begins to come through. It may come instantly. It may come through the course of your day as you need it, because that truly is optimal. And if you are so choosing, just make that commitment to the divine. I choose the place of the heart. Show me this above all else. I choose to trust that it will guide me in safety and in comfort and with ease and with grace. And I know that there will be challenges and that grace will take me through them, because this is the way of the heart. And then just take some more deep breaths, allowing your being to be aligned with resting in the heart. Remembering that the word courage in English comes from the French word cœur, which is the word for heart. Energy of the heart, strength of the heart, is the true meaning of this word. When one can face anything from the heart and be, at least in some way, at peace. So just breathing, letting the body soak this in, letting the emotional body just release and clear. Letting the mind rest in the knowing that a new way of being has begun. A new job has begun. A new cycle of learning has begun. What fun this will be for the mind. More learning. Learning is what minds do best. And just breathe and allow that to move through. And then if you have had your eyes closed, open your eyes gently. Wiggle fingers and toes if you need to, bringing energy into your body, remembering that you are listening, remembering that you have ears, and just coming fully present into where we are exploring the heart today. And so hopefully, as you listen to this, this is helpful in just remembering, allowing yourself to be held in that vibration of being in, diving in fully and being held by the heart, remembering that your heart is the divine heart. There is no separation. There never has been. And the mind may supply arguments to that. Simply say to it, yes, thank you. That may have been true, but it is no longer. And let it relax. It may look at you with a little bit of stun for a bit, but it will get used to the idea.
Lovely meditation, Mary.
Oh, thank you. It's always fun for me to see what shows up when it comes through.
Yes, we do. We do often not take those moments and not always listen. But when we do listen, magic always happens.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. The divine really is, you know, the love vibration, the light vibration is magic, what we know as magic. You know, what we call magic are those moments, as you just said so well, when we do listen and we just act on it and don't argue or try and box it and label it or, you know, send it down this street because we like to drive that one better, you know, and we just go, okay, and then it's like, wow, magic.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think, how do we, doing the meditation will help, but how do we get to that space where we can trust and not have an agenda, but yet have the intention? I really like the way you explained the difference between the two, because I think that's very important.
Well, what works for me is really all I can speak to, and that is, it helps to know that difference. It helps to make that distinction where a clear intention is one thing and an agenda is another. The agenda is when we're still trying to wangle something, when we're still trying to have it be our way. And just starting, it's working with that idea helps to just remind the mind when it starts to balk or resist or direct. You know, our minds have the director job down.
Yes.
When it starts to do that, just reminding it, okay, let's go back to the intention and release the how into the arms of the divine. It's like, this is the intention. This is the feeling is this. Like the feeling of material support. You know, every book out there will say, well, you do this, and then what you really want is the vibration, the feeling state of what you want. And so it's to go back to the intention. The intention is this. Let's align the mind with the intention. So that's sort of how I work with my mind, how I help clients to work with the mind. But more important than that is to return, even if not in a meditation like the one we just did, to return into that dive into the heart, and ask the heart, is this divinely aligned? And at first, especially in America, the rebel archetype is very well developed. It is ingrained. I mean, it's even in the Declaration of Independence, the founding fathers, it's like rebel against the tyrant, right? Well, the word against is tricky, because the minute that we align with and against, we're pulling in its opposite. So as long as we are holding, well, I want it this way and not that way, the not that way will pull in exactly that. And there are all kinds of, you know, reasons for that in the subconscious, etc. So it's really going into the heart and saying, this feeling. So for me, as an example, it's that sacred connection with nature and with all of life, ecstatic communion with nature aligned with the divine. This is my clear intention. Always has been in this life.
Yes.
And so that, one could say, is rather general. It doesn't have a lot of life specifics in it that have to do with bills getting paid and things. And the truth is that that's right. Because my experience, which I think I may have mentioned before, is that over the last few years, when I would align my energy with, okay, even in a general way, I need X amount of money by this time because these bills are due, clients would cancel, classes wouldn't fill, everything would dry right up. It got to where it was taking 20 minutes. And that started to get funny in a weird, twisted, panicky kind of way. But it used to get really funny. And so I asked, all right, you showed me the question, show me. And it was, thank you that this is the alignment that I've chosen, that these are my clear intentions. I'm grateful for them. And even if for those who don't know what they want, that's okay. It's just having some sort of clear intention. Thank you for this. And using gratitude. Thank you that the divine flows through me. Thank you that it will support me and always does. And then all of a sudden the floodgates open and everything is okay. So the advice, I guess, of how do we do that, we don't. But the things one can work with are going into the heart and saying to the divine, in whatever way works for anyone. For me, it is the divine mother, but for it could be anything. You know, the divine is genderless, so all that is source, spirit, the force, whatever, doesn't matter. Is to just say, okay, I'm choosing this. I'm diving into the heart. Show me. Not help from the place of lack, although, you know, we can, that's okay. We need to do that some days. But optimally, not from there, from that place of thank you that I am choosing to trust that the support is right there. And then it's like working a muscle. It's practice. Just every time we waver, and we do, you know, just coming back to that and saying, I'm choosing to trust. Thank you that the divine moves through me, and I will be shown. And just letting the mind be there. So I hope that's, I know it's not ABC like people would like, but the new cycle isn't going to work that way. So I hope that's enough of an answer.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a good affirmation, I think, to sort of remember. It's a good way to sort of shift yourself out of one to, you know, dive into your heart, into another, and then offer. Because, I mean, everybody everywhere talks about how important gratitude is. Mm-hmm. And not everybody totally understands what it means to completely feel gratitude. I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about forgiveness and a lot of talk about gratitude. And truly, my belief is those two are so intricately linked that, you know, until you can truly forgive not only another but yourself, which is probably the most hidden of the, I don't know if we want to say agendas that we hold, but we often blame ourselves more than we blame others.
Yes.
So to be able to truly forgive ourselves allows us to fall into that place of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an interesting, it's a great way to come full circle, but it's, you know, I think it's so powerful in understanding, you know, how divine works, how we work, how our hearts work.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm reminded, or I was reminded over this weekend, on June 5th of 2009, I had what the medical community calls a brainstem stroke. Mm. And while I was being taken into the ER, there are chunks of that I have no memory of, just as well for the mind. But I was reminded over this weekend that at one point when the x-rays chamber when the first CT came back, and they saw what appeared to be a clot in one of the veins in the brainstem. They wanted to fly me somewhere, do some complicated thing. I have no memory of that. But the person who was with me reminded me that she was talking to me, and what I said, and I have no memory of this, was, let's let the Divine Mother handle it. And this person is also an incredible healer, and so, you know, when they, an hour and a half later, when they did an MRI, there was nothing there. There was no obstruction mm-hmm. there. But what I'm reminded of is that what was going through my mind, it was just a current, like a mantra, just thrum, 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 was, everything is going to be fine. You are always taken care of. Everything is going to be fine. You are always taken care of. Everything is going to be fine. You are always taken care of. And I could feel it with my heartbeat. And the nonverbal instruction, it wasn't like anything said anything. I don't know that my brain would have processed it well at that time if it did, but was, do not allow your mind to stray from this. Like, hold your mind right here. Allow your heart to hold your mind right here. Everything will be fine. I'm always taken care of. And that, in its own way, that with the heart and the opening of that, it created a miracle. The next morning, I had the full use of my left side back. It had been gone. You know, I could speak again. I mean, there were still some residual symptoms for a few months, but literally it was, they have it down as a medical miracle. They don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. They had no explanation for this. And one thing that I know is that somehow I was held in that current of gratitude, and that those things, it's not something I was thinking, that phrase just kept being going through my mind, and I just kept feeling, just hold it right there, hold your mind right there, don't let it listen to what the doctors are saying, don't let it, you know, engage with any of this stuff, just hold it right there. And that level of, just that simple level of gratitude, you know I'm always taken care of, even though in that moment all evidence was to the contrary,
mm-hmm.
it worked. So anyway,
that's powerful.
I was compelled to share that.
Yeah, well, that's really powerful, because it's, you know, it's those experiences that we have that remind us of that magic that we often lose touch with.
Because that it's so simple. We often think we make it so complicated, or we've been taught that it's complicated to clear ourselves and be aligned with the divine. And truly, it's probably the most simple thing that there is.
Hmm.
And our minds will say, oh, that's way too simple, or the butt-butt bird will show up, or the poo-poo monster, you know. You know, they're quite talented.
They are.
You know, forget that. Well... Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it is truly amazing how, you know, we can be in those moments and we can feel that magic and we can know that magic, and then, you know, 2 minutes later we can get called back in the flow of living and it's like it never happened, and yet every time we get back into that state, we go, oh, right, that's what it is. And then it's mm-hmm. like, oh, there it goes again.
Yeah, exactly. And just if we can keep resting in the heart, diving into the heart, just remember, I like post-it notes myself, but if you just can remember that, and then when you wobble, you know, just taking that breath, remembering, starting to practice, take that breath and go, okay, back in the heart. How does the heart want to respond instead of the mind reacting? Then that begins to become the larger percentage of how we operate. Now, my personal favorite test is when I get a letter from the IRS. Well, those government things, they're actually laced with the fear vibration.
Oh, yeah.
Let's call it what it is.
Yeah. I mean,
they are laced with fear. You pick up the envelope, and it gives your body this jolt, you know, unless you think it's your tax refund. But, you know, but it's like, ugh, you know. And so my personal favorite test for myself is, oh, let's look at that. Take a deep breath and say, I'm always taken care of. Let's let the heart respond. And then you open the envelope.
Yeah.
It's different. It's different. You can feel the fear that the thing is laced with. I mean, it's done on purpose.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the same effect.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. It's very powerful. It helps a lot. It's a good thing to practice.
Mm-hmm. I think you've talked about, affirmations and what work for you, and even, the accident, it wasn't so much an affirmation as just it was almost like a knowing more mm-hmm. than a saying. But, how important do you think affirmations are in allowing this growth and surrender to take place?
Well, the truthful answer is they are only as important as the feeling behind them,
mm-hmm.
as the vibration. If we're just mouthing litany, if we're just mouthing words.
Kind of like the same as our prayers.
Yes. Like blah, 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 God.
Yeah.
Remember that cartoon, blah, 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 Daisy? that's what the dog hears. Well, if we're just sort of going through it, it's not that it's useless. The mind will retain some of it. But affirmations are as useful as the feeling behind them. So if we're truly feeling, thank you, that I'm always taken care of, the words aren't what matters. It's the feeling. And we don't have to spend hours and hours doing it. I mean, that particular thing wasn't something my mind thought up. It was a transmission.
Right.
In the ER, it was a transmission that came through. And it was just keeping my mind busy so it wouldn't pay attention to any of this other stuff.
Right.
That would have been really scary.
Mm-hmm.
And so our affirmations can do that. One of the things that my mystery school teacher advocated years ago was from the Frank Herbert's Dune books, The Litany Against Fear.
Okay.
Yeah, fear is the mind killer, fear is the little death, believe me. I have the whole thing memorized. But but sometimes that's really useful when the grip of the reactivity really gets us. Then we can use them that way to say, okay, let's use this to create a different vibration. That's the usefulness of affirmations, is to create a different vibration to help us hold it. That's what mantras have always done. What sacred sound has always done is altered our frequencies. The divine for centuries was approached through sacred sound, and it's all about the vibration. So if the affirmation is altering your vibration, it's working.
Right. So chants, for example, it's not so much the words as it is the vibration that it creates.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. It's that it alters our vibration. It's the frequency that it holds that helps us align our vibration in a different way.
Right. Hmm. And if singing makes your heart sing?
Yeah.
Then sing away.
Exactly. Exactly. Doing what makes your heart sing is the best.
Yeah.
And allowing it. A little child will sort of pop along in a park or the sidewalk or whatever, humming or singing or toning.
Yes.
That's what they're doing without realizing it. Their minds aren't involved. They're just, vibrationally making themselves happy.
Hmm. It's true. I mean, kids can do all sorts of things that as we get to a certain age, we think, well, I can't do that.
I know. They'll think I'm weird.
Yes.
Everyone thinks I'm weird. I'm over it. It's like, that's okay, because weird and happy is better than normal and unhappy.
Definitely. Although I still get caught up on some things. It's like, no, seriously, I can do this.
Yeah, I know. And what I have found works for me when that happens, when I start saying, I can't do this, it's like, who is the I in that sentence?
Hmm.
Because the divine, the higher self, would never say that.
Right.
So that's what this being uses. It's like, who's the I in that? That sounds like the little self to me. So let's give it to the higher self that can do anything. And say, well, okay, that might be true, but the higher self, the divine, can do anything. So let's let that vibration come through instead. Mm-hmm. And see, because maybe this time we do our little, you know, sacred sounding silently because we're in line at the bank. Or we, you know, and we don't want the security guards coming over. Or we, you know, or we wait till we get back in the car.
Because we want the money that's in the bank, not the... not the hospital that's going to come pick us up.
Exactly. And I think also that as a collective, as a sort of consciousness or conscious collective, we need to begin releasing the idea that should we truly express authentically, we will then be controlled.
Yeah.
Because the longer we hold that, the longer those systems will stay in place.
Good
point.
Doesn't
mean you'll start humming in the bank line. But you know what I mean.
No, I do.
What if that was a belief system that we could just allow to release? Yeah. What if I can be completely authentic in every moment and be guided and safe? Because I would be willing to bet that the divine wouldn't have you start humming, you know, some bizarre thing in front of a security guard. Unless you were really up for that adventure.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, when we are afraid to be authentic because mm-hmm. we are, you know, afraid that somebody won't like us or, you know, we've just been so programmed. But, you know, I wonder if it's also a bit, you know, of the collective unconscious that, you know, remembers all the things that happen to women and that just that fear of, you know, being authentic meant death.
Yes, that is. I have found in the work that I do that particular rule or core belief is programmed into the feminine body. I have found it in the mDNA, you know, the DNA we get from our mothers, our bloodlines. And it's not really that difficult to release. But we have been programmed, our bodies especially, have been programmed, and body programs are weird because they bypass the mind.
Right.
They've been programmed to believe, you know, it's like, danger, danger, you can't do that. And so it's asking the body to stop listening to its conditioning and start listening to the heart. And that's a process like anything else. Because yes, I mean, for a very long time now, for the whole past cycle, those of us in female bodies, since we have gender on this planet,
mm-hmm.
Have those bodies carry the genetic inheritance, the soul genetics of all of the persecution, the enslavement, all of those things. And so in releasing that from our bodies and saying to the body, okay, listen to the heart. And our bodies start out not trusting because they have these memories. So it's just letting the memories go, as in the fluidity classes that I teach. It's let them go into the cocoon. Let the Divine Mother transform them. You don't have to know how to do it. Our minds don't know how, or we would have done it already. And just letting your authenticity bubble through in the way that you can in any moment, and allowing the body to start releasing those. Yeah, it's a huge set of programs.
Yeah. And I'm sure men have their own as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Some of them are every bit as gnarly or worse. I mean, have you ever looked in a male body child's eyes? You see the soul. You really think that soul wants to be a perpetrator?
Right.
Well, maybe some do. But in general, you know, you look at that innocence. And then as the body matures, the body programs start to set in, along with the cultural, the societal, the familial. You know, so it's really, blaming is just not useful. In the first stages of clearing and of release work, it helps. It actually does. But that needs to be gotten through really quickly because it's just not useful for the evolution of consciousness. It's like all of this was designed to learn. And maybe it's time that we did that. Maybe it's time we put learned, we put the past tense on it and said, we're there. Let's let it all go and move forward in a clear space.
Right.
And with our own male energies in a female body, you know, letting our male energies let go of those programs. You know, it's not a war.
No, as much as they'd like us to believe it is.
Well, yes, the programs would like us to believe it is. The programs are conditioned, you know, to make it that way. And a lot of the global unconscious has conditioning in it that would like to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as there's this battle going on, the real evolution of the soul can't happen.
Right.
Or happens a lot more slowly. And so, you know, the energies that would like to stay in control, which is, you know, it's their grand delusion, is that they are, but they've got it, you know, it's all of us have that programming.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it's like when there comes that, well, you know, against, fighting for, you know, it's like, well, okay, but fighting for is still fighting. Mm-hmm. And that's not a pacifist statement either. You know, there are times to take a stand very firmly. Letting that place and saying, okay, well, am I choosing the program or am I choosing my authenticity? And if you're choosing your authenticity in that moment and you can feel it, go for it. And if you're not, if you can feel that little wiggle that goes, ugh, this feels really uncomfortable and programmed, then it's time to ask the heart.
Right. Yeah. This has been a lovely hour. Do you have anything that you haven't said that you feel you would like to still discuss?
I don't think so. That feels fairly complete.
Any workshops or anything you'd like to talk about that's coming up for you?
Let's see. The Module 2 of the Embodying Fluidity series begins the second week in July. These are teleseries, so from anywhere in the world.
Right.
This week, on Wednesday evening, I will be holding satsang here in Santa Fe at the Yoga Community Center. And other events, as they show up, as I can't remember them right now, are on the website, the Delphic Wave website, DelphicWave.com.
Nice. Well, Mary, always a pleasure. I look forward to our shows each month. I think, you know, you offer a lot of gentle and heartfelt guidance, but we would only expect that with holding the heart space, so thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. This is so much fun.
Good. All right, so maybe next time we can get some questions from some people.
Sure, that would be fun.
Yeah.
We'll ask for that.
Okay. All right, so I don't know exactly the date. I think it's, let's see, July. July 26th.
Yes, it's in your newsletter.
It is, of course. All right, so see you then.
All right,
okay. Bye-bye.